Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, intern Robert here with you on this Wednesday morning, broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. We'll have Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com with us a little bit later in the program today. We will definitely be talking Titans 8 to 9 with him. He'll probably show up a little bit earlier. He typically does.
Let's hope.
See what happens. I hope he's here for the rant.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
I'm sure you do.
I look forward to it. What I like to do is rant in front of PK.
I look forward to it.
Right.
Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Joe, we were on Monday. Spent a lot of time talking about Vanderbilt, the big win against Virginia Tech. And just the game itself, Diego Pavia, what an impressive performance. The ability to bounce back after things started to go wrong in the fourth quarter. And to put that aside, come back and win the game. You know, just quite frankly, we have seen Vanderbilt teams in that situation before, that when something bad like that has happened, they've just folded. And it was good to see them be able to brush that off, go win that game, and respond the way they did. You know, we also talked about the crowd. Like, there's a ton of Virginia Tech fans there at the game. Go look at their schedule. They've got some big-time programs coming into town. This year, there's going to be a lot of opposing fans in Vanderbilt Stadium as the season goes on. So I think we know that heading into this. My question is, like, what did Saturday's win do for the Vanderbilt fan base in terms of their belief in Clark Lea? You know, we talked about his job status heading into the year. And one of the things that I brought up was, you know, you're 2-10 last year. It was really ugly. And I just felt like the schedule heading into this year really did not lend itself to very many Vanderbilt wins. Now, we'll see. They got one that I didn't think they'd get. So they're already off to a better start than I thought they would be with the Virginia Tech game. But clearly, Clark Lea looked at the program at the end of last year and decided that things had to change. And we've talked about all those changes. Jerry Kill coming in. He's in charge of the defense now. They've got a ton of new players on their roster. And the early returns are really good. My question for Vanderbilt fans is, what did Saturday do if you were somebody who was either out on Clark Lea or was a big-time skeptic, which I think is fair heading into this season? What did Saturday's win do? Did it change your mind at all? Are you back in on Clark Lea if you were out? Like, what did that win against Virginia Tech do for the Vanderbilt fan base on Saturday? I'm really interested to see what that's going to mean for them moving forward.
Yeah, look, it's a good question. First of all, there's a week here of being able to bask in a big win. Cheese It, team of the week. I actually was at Vanderbilt yesterday, talking to Mr. Pavia, and Clark Lea had a presser, and he said, you know, he's trying to eat all the Cheez Its, but they've got that. Diego Pavia is SEC Player of the Week, and there was a question to Clark Lea yesterday about, you know, how do you now, you know, kind of like keep the team, you know, reined in, which is, you know, typically what a coach would think. But I liked his answer, which is like, any shine these guys can get, yeah, let's, like, I mean, you don't want to rest on your laurels, of course, or get to, you have to go to the next week and all that stuff. But also, like, how many good things have they had happen to
them? That place has been beat down.
Yeah, so they deserved it. And I'm with you. Look, when Virginia Tech hit that deep shot, it was like, well, I've seen this before. And good for Vandy for being competitive and all that stuff, but they're going to lose this game, and it'll kind of feel the same way in some ways. But the fact that they came right back with that drive, because that offense is not, you know, like that offense, I worry about it like if you're down, you know, you need a touchdown and you have a minute on the clock, right? Like it, like they had enough time so they could run the whole offense. It was all there for them. It's you have to be able to run the ball and weave in your option plays and mix that in with passing. I worry about if you're in a straight up drop back, throw the ball around, you know, it may not be the best situation. But I think where you have to look with Clark Lea right now is you could call it desperation. But the guy saw something and he was impressed by it and he said, let's do that. And that's a pretty bold move to do what he did. Like, we joke about New Mexico State Northeast, but like, they went all in on it and it looks pretty good right now.
It does. And one thing I will say on that, I have no idea if Clark Lee is like the long-term answer at Vanderbilt. It's not gone well so far. I think we would all see that. Now, that's a big win for him Saturday. I thought it's a really important win for him to get. And look, I think, number one, I really like him. Number two, I think he's a good coach. But we'll have to wait and see how it ends up playing out at Vanderbilt. But one thing I think we can say about him, there are a whole lot of coaches in the NFL, in college football, wherever. Pick your sport. That are set in their way of doing things, and it's their way or the highway, and they're going to do what they've always done, and that's going to be it. And they're not really, if they get down into it and really are honest with themselves, not really open to change. And Clark Lee, to his credit, looked at how things went last year and said, we can't keep doing it this way. If we do, I'm not going to be here. And changed up everything. He brought in, like we said, the roster turnover, the different offense, the different style of player to bring in to run that offense, and a lot of coaches would not have done that. And again, it's one game. It still may not work out. I don't know. But I do think Clark Lee deserves credit for being willing to make those changes, because, I mean, we know a lot of coaches that would not have done that.
Right. And also recognizing, okay, what am I best at? What am I great at? We know that he has demonstrated an ability to be a high-level defensive coordinator. Sure, he had good players at Notre Dame, but still, like, they played a lot of good teams with similar style of players, and they had outstanding defensive numbers. So, okay, so let me put myself in position to do what I do best. It does feel like even, like, in football in general, there is more of that. I mean, like, look at the Titans. You know, the head coach is – the offense is my baby. I need to hire a good DC. That's your baby. You know, and so Clark's like, I love that offense. I want that. Please come here and do that, and I'm going to do what I do great, and let's see if it can all work together. That's a huge change from what they were.
Well, I think it involves, in some ways, swallowing your ego, what he's done. Because, look, I mean, you could say it, well, what do you mean swallowing his ego? He took over the defensive coordinator duty, and that's now his thing. So he just added more responsibility. But, like, fair or not, if Vanderbilt's offense is really good this year, people are going to say, well, you brought in Jerry Kill. Of course it's good. And, it's being willing to say, I don't really care who gets the credit as long as the results are there. And, again, we talk about coaches not being willing to make changes. A lot of coaches aren't willing to do that either. They aren't willing to kind of swallow their pride a little bit and make some changes, even if sometimes those changes are necessary. And I think Clark Lee has demonstrated that he is willing to do that. Yeah. And again, we'll wait and see how it works out. It's one game. I have no – like, Virginia Tech could be bad. I have no idea. But it's one game, and the early returns are good.
Right. And there is a humility with Clark Lee that allows for something like this, that you're right. There are definitely some ball coaches who wouldn't touch this. Liam McLeod says, ooh, good question. Too early to say he's earned some new level of belief. The win was surprising and fun, but let's see him do it again. Alcorn State doesn't count. Part of me wonders if maybe Jerry Kill should just be the coach. So there you go. I mean, people are going to say stuff like that. Yeah, you know, and the answer to that is, you know, I mean, Jerry Kill, I think his days as a head coach are over. You know, I mean, I think he's a mentor. Right now he is a mentor to a head coach, and he's been a mentor to a lot of people. He's a mentor to Tim Beck, who's actually the offensive coordinator, by the way, at Vanderbilt. To keep that in mind, Tim Beck is the OC, but it does, you know, like Diego Pavia has said, like, I still look at Jerry Kill as my head coach, even though obviously Clark Lee is the head coach, but it's like the offense. So it's like a relationship of Jerry Kill, the head coach of the offense, kind of, even though he's like, I always forget his title. It's like,
what is he, senior advisor?
I don't know what he is. Something like that. Yeah, but it's like, I'll find it. It's something that it's like senior offensive advisor, but the first part of it is like, you know,
Jedi.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
That's not bad.
That's kind of good, right?
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Throwing the question out there, did Saturday's win for Vanderbilt instill new belief in Clark Lee?
chief consultant to the head coach / senior offensive advisor.
Not as good as Obi-Wan Kenobi. That's what we must now we're going with refer that. To him as from now on. We'll have more on that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in to 93.3 Totally Hits Nashville this Saturday for MTSU football. Blue Raiders on the road taking on Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. Pre-game starts at 1:45, kickoff at 3:15. Coverage also available on the 93.3 FM Totally Hits Nashville app and at totallyhitsnashville.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Taking your thoughts on Clark Lee and Vanderbilt. Did Saturday's win instill a new confidence in Clark Lee? Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Maddie says, us Vandy fans only get about 7 minutes to be excited in a season. Haters need to let us bask. Yes, I've not lost faith in Clark yet. When you're rebuilding a car, you have to start at the frame and work inside out. Car just happens to be a Pinto for him. He's the right hire. Anchor down. This is from Maddie on the text line.
Okay.
Nice illustration.
I have felt, you know, I don't know. It's always... it's hard, as we've talked about many times, with fan bases and how they feel and, like, what's the actual majority opinion on somebody where, you know, you may have a small group of people being very vocal. But I've felt definitely some Vanderbilt fans who are out on him.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. And I don't know the exact percentage of it heading into this. And, I do wonder, did any of those change? Like, it's one game against Virginia Tech. Is it enough to change your entire opinion on somebody? Probably not. But I think it does at least show that if you thought they were going to come in and just totally lay an egg this year, they didn't do that. I mean, they were more fun to watch on Saturday than they've been in a long time.
Right.
And you know, I say that. They had a season opener 2 years ago against Hawaii, where they ran for like 1,000 yards in that game, and they beat the absolute tar out of a bad Hawaii team. Mike Wright was running up and down the field. I mean, they looked great in that game. So, you know, they beat Kentucky. They beat Florida. It was fun.
Mike Wright did those, too.
He did. And now he's starting for Northwestern, by the way.
Yeah.
On the lake over there.
How about that?
But, like, the offense, the option, the way that it all played out Saturday was just a lot of fun. And you just haven't been able to say that too much about Vanderbilt teams lately.
Mark from Ashland City says, for me as a Florida fan in Nashville, it made me wonder what it's like to have a coach that can have the ability to have some introspection and really assess a program and make hard changes for the better. I'm all in on the Doors. My fandom is in the portal until Napier is gone. So there you go. Mm.
Drew says, Vandy could start 3-0 based on their schedule, if that means anything. They are Vandy. They should be in an Ivy League conference, not the SEC. And goes on to talk about the SEC adding teams, and they should get Vandy out. It's not going to happen, I don't think, at least not anytime soon.
No.
So,
but as far as, you know, I hear, but here's the thing, Drew. They did just beat Virginia Tech. Again, we're going to find out with Virginia Tech. You know, Virginia Tech is supposed to have one of the best defensive lines in the country. They're supposed to have that.
So now, Florida State.
Florida State was too and is too. So, but, you know, I think that they do have good players. On defense, they have good players, period. I think they're going to be a pretty good team this year. And I think last week demonstrated that what Vanderbilt does, and maybe it gets easier to deal with when more film is out there and all that stuff, but that was a big part of this. The schematics were a huge part of this win. And the guy running that offense, who is a ton of fun. Right?
He's a dog.
Yeah, he is a dog.
He's a dog.
So, you know, it's not just your typical – yeah, some years Vanderbilt might start 3-0, and it's like three – group of five teams, yep, or whatever, an FCS team in there. But that's not this. That Virginia Tech, that's a good win. It's a huge win.
Doug from Franklin on the text line says, the first staffs of first-time Power 5 coaches almost never stay intact very long. Those head coaches never really know what the program needs until they've actually worked in the program for at least 1 or 2 years, especially in the SEC. Recognizing this and making the change is the difference between keeping your job and getting fired. Watson Brown was a great example of that back in the day. Is from Doug from Franklin on the text line.
Interesting.
Again, like, you know, I'd be interested to look at, like, the percentage there. Like, with coaches coming in the SEC that last for a considerable amount of time, like, how many of them have significant staff turnover during that time? You know, it's one thing to have staff turnover because, you know, somebody's hiring away your offensive coordinator to be a head coach. it's another thing to look around and say, yeah, I'm firing the offensive coordinator, bringing somebody else in, or yeah, I'm going to take over play calling as the DC and we're getting rid of the old defensive coordinator. Like, it's two different things.
And remember with Vanderbilt, you know, they had Jesse Minter, who had a good first year, and then Michigan says, we'll take that guy. So yep. He's had both things. Another thing about this is, like, I just don't think we should compare what happens in the SEC to what happens at Vanderbilt. Like, you know, for example, Josh Heupel brings his offense in. It's a good offense. He comes in, he inherits some good players. They're good right away. I mean, these other programs have a chance. I mean, Vanderbilt, like, it's just, I understand the James Franklin thing will always be there. It happened, and good for him and all that, but that's clearly the exception, not the norm. And for the most part, it is a massive, massive job to try to get close to the rest of the league.
And look, I've said this before, and Vanderbilt fans got really mad at me, and I understand it because it sounds disrespectful, and I'm not trying for it to be. James Franklin did a great job at Vanderbilt. James Franklin also caught the SEC East when Tennessee was down, Georgia was down, and Florida was down, and that's right. A hard thing to do.
Yes.
That doesn't happen very often.
Incredible timing.
Yeah.
Unnamed texter, Vandy doesn't have a right tackle. They'll always suffer.
Yeah.
/ Stilly the Poo.
Yeah.
I forget about Stilly the Poo.
Yeah. I got a texter that says, that was the most fun I've had in Vanderbilt's football stadium since the James Franklin era. I mean, that's a good win. It's a good win. And not only that, it's not only a good win. It's a fun game, right? You're talking about a 34-27 overtime win. That's a fun game to watch. We were talking about it over the weekend, like, where did that one rank just in terms of the overall football game to watch in college football over the weekend? It's up there.
It was absolutely one of the best. Right there with LSU-USC to me.
I got a texter that says, normal people can't relate to Vandy. Most people aren't rich or smart enough to attend Vandy. Consists of mostly non-U.S. residents that don't care about football. I don't know if that's true.
No, I don't think that's true. But, yeah, I mean, that's the student body. That they do have a football team with people who play and coach football. Check it out. They're in the SEC.
They do. Caleb says, who gives a rat's ass about Vandy? Go Vols. Now the Vols fans are jumping in.
We do at some point today. We need to play this absolute trash talk from this NC State guy. Bulletin board material.
We may have to get that coming back next segment.
Yeah. I mean, because I tell you what, Vol Twitter is all a Twitter about this. You get this guy out of here. Caleb, are you among these people?
Do you anticipate, let's say for the sake of argument here, they've gotten the win against Virginia Tech. Let's say they roll through Alcorn State. They get to 3-0 at the end of this non-conference. I know they got Ball State coming up a little bit later, but they're 3-0. Do more Vanderbilt fans, and by more, I mean significantly more, because that building was, I don't know what the percentage was. On TV, it looked like 85% to 90%. Virginia Tech.
It wasn't that much, but
it looked like it on TV.
I think it was definitely, yeah.
So does that translate into more Vanderbilt fans, either number one showing up, number two not selling their ticket, whatever that means as the season goes on here, knowing that they got some big-time programs coming in?
Yeah, I think so. You know, the thing is, it's like, you know where people would be, like, most excited to go to a game is games that are against middling SEC teams, or you thought you had a chance. Like, if Missouri's coming, Missouri's good this year and they're ranked and all that stuff, but like a Kentucky, South Carolina, I think some Vanderbilt fans, and I actually get it, like, I don't want to go there and sit around these Alabama fans and watch us lose by 40. You know?
I understand. Yep.
Yeah. So it's like, what are the winnable games? But that's why, like I said yesterday, hey man, go out for this Alcorn State game and you will not have to pay a ton, and you know you can probably watch them beat up on a team. If they take care of their business in these games, you know, then I know that they go to Missouri. Like, they don't have a home game after this week because Georgia State is on the road. So that's the thing. The next home game is Bama, you know. So, I mean, that's the problem, is like their SEC home games are Bama and then Texas. And then finally you get to November, you got South Carolina. So, I mean, those two games are already probably bought up like crazy by Bama and Texas fans, right?
Oh, they are.
So,
according to sources.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yes,
I'm sure.
There are a lot of folks. Yes.
Yeah. So it's like the first chance Vanderbilt fans would have would be that South Carolina game. What state will the team be in by then? I don't know.
I know.
But that, you know, I think there will be excitement in the town, in the fan base, though, if they just if they can just look like they looked. If they play like they played, then the next two games they're going to score a ton of points and they're going to win.
Michael from Gallatin says, disrespectfully, screw the Vols and all their stupid fans trying to discredit this awesome Vandy moment. Anchor down and see you in November. This is from Michael from Gallatin.
No due respect, screw the Vols.
Anytime, I've said this before, it mainly happens during baseball season. But anytime we can get the trash talk between Vanderbilt and Tennessee fans going, I am totally here for it. We need more.
We have, yeah, it's been hard lately in recent years because it's gone back to, like, not competitive.
Yep. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We will play the NC State comment that's got Vol Twitter all riled up coming up next. Also get back into the NFL as well. Paul Kurarski coming up here in the next few minutes as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. We are taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Paul Kurarski from PaulKurarski.com is with us here on the program. PK, good morning. What's going on?
Good morning, gentlemen. It's good to see you. That was an excellent Vanderbilt conversation. I enjoyed it on my way in. I shockingly only disagreed with one point.
Okay.
Not looking to fight, just a disagreement. But Joe says, go out and see them against Alcorn State. And this is this is my thing. Like, why would you ever go out and see them against Alcorn State, no matter how good they – so they're going to go out and bash Alcorn State while you could be sitting home watching good games.
That's true.
Like, I mean, that's my disincentive for college football.
It could be a good game. Hold on now.
Well, you're not selling that side. You're not selling that side of it.
Yes.
The game to have gone out and seen, in hindsight, is the one that they just played. And they only schedule that game, right? Because now you're mandated to schedule one good out-of-conference game? Because Vandy never schedules, nor should they, under the system as it's been, a good out-of-conference game.
Well, the thing is, I think that
Their whole strategy is to schedule three bad out-of-conference games, win the three, and then try to string together enough to get six.
There are programs with a much better standing than Vanderbilt who have gone the let's do four winnables and get to a
which is one of the reasons one of my huge arguments with college football. There are way too many of those games. Yeah, that 63-0 game was valuable to schedule.
Well, I think if memory serves me correctly, wasn't that game Saturday originally supposed to be at Nissan? Like, wasn't it supposed to be at Nissan Stadium?
I think that's right.
I don't really remember what happened, but it was obviously not at Nissan Stadium over the weekend. But a big win for them.
I heard great things about the stadium, and I've been over there, not in the stadium, but around the stadium. You can feel, even from the outside, what it's going to be, which is great.
Then next year it'll be good.
It's that, they need to, you know, win games like that so that it's slanted more, you know, in their colors.
Right. So there is a comment that was made by NC State Wolfpack safety DK Kaufman, I guess yesterday, at the media availability for NC State.
Put it on the bulletin board.
That has got Vol Twitter in an uproar. And I want to play the comments, and then we can kind of get through this and dissect it and see if Vol Twitter is justified in their anger. Here is what NC State Wolfpack safety DK Kaufman had to say yesterday.
We'll be good. How are you simulating the speed and talent that you have to deal with this week in practice?
Yeah, so we're doing a good job at that. Like I was just talking about just trying to get everybody to hurry up and get back to the ball, even when we get skelly, just trying to get everybody to hurry up and run back and get in the position. It'll be easier in the game because we'll know where the ball will be placed on the hash. You know, when we in practice, they switch hashes, so it's really even harder at practice, honestly.
So you feel like you mastered it at practice, you'll be able to handle it Saturday?
Yeah, for sure. Practice is always harder than the game. At least it should be. Here it is. So
that has got Vol Twitter in an uproar.
Oh, my God.
Because he's talking about, you know, obviously Tennessee's offense moves very quickly. There's a lot of tempo in the offense. And to me, he's saying there, yeah, in practice, they're switching up the hash marks. At least in the game, we'll know when the ball's down, which hash the ball's going to, and we can run back and set the defense. But I guess Vol Twitter has taken that as, well, NC State thinks this is just going to be a piece of cake when the game rolls around, that the Tennessee's offense isn't any good and they're going to be fine. I did not take in – he didn't say anything specific about the offense at all. He was talking about trying to get lined up when the ball gets laid down by the official. But for whatever reason, that has got Vol Twitter.
Nobody's practice is harder than a game. Everybody tries to sell this. There's even been a little bit with Callahan. Sometimes your pacing can test the guy. You know, you make him run six plays in a row where if he, a receiver runs a deep play on the fourth play, he's probably coming off in a game. But there's no such thing as a practice that's harder than a game because there's no hitting.
Well, sure.
For sure.
But in terms of when you're trying to work on certain things, well, I'll go to basketball teams. You know, basketball team I used to cover, when they played a pressing team, they'd put seven scout teamers out there. Or like some of these Narduzzi, when he was going up against an offense like Tennessee's, he'd have his guys turn around and have to turn their backs and immediately, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, so sometimes you put the pass rusher a yard on the other side of the line of scrimmage or stuff like that. But still,
you can manufacture
You can manufacture things that make certain elements tougher.
Yes.
But practice, football practice, inherently is not the game because it doesn't include the thing that makes football the hardest, which is getting hit.
This
while you're catching and running and doing things.
You are making a fine point, but you're getting in the way of ripping Vol Twitter finding trash talk in
where
that.
There
is not one shred of trash talk in
I don't really know how you listen to that and get to, oh, man, he's taking a shot at Tennessee's offense. He says that it's going to be easy to defend Tennessee's offense.
That is scrounging,
that
folks.
That is not what he said. Hey, look. If you're a Tennessee football player and you want to Kirby Smart a couple years ago somehow got his entire team to buy in that everybody thought they were going 7-5. I mean, it's one of the most mystical coaching powers I think I've ever seen. So, like, if you're a hypo or if you're a player and you want to believe that this guy's talking smack about your offense, then knock yourself out. Go ahead. I don't really get it from the Tennessee fan standpoint. I don't know how you listen to that and say, yeah, he thinks Nico sucks. He thinks the Tennessee offense is terrible and that they're just going to have an easy time. He's talking about trying to get lined up. That's all he's talking about.
If the Vols win Saturday night, there better be a question for Nico. So, Nico, were you motivated by him saying that they're working really hard on tempo and they thought that they went faster in practice than that is in the game? Did that tick you off, Nico?
Yeah.
And he'll be like,
huh?
Or maybe, I don't know, maybe not.
Maybe
Vol Twitter.
He'll go, you know, I hadn't really thought about it, but Vol Twitter has called my attention to it, and now I am steamed.
I hope to God. For Nico's sake, that he's not paying a whole lot of attention to Vol Twitter. Oh. It could be a place where you can get lost.
Because it is possible that he has a bad game at some point.
It is possible.
And that's when you want to have been consistently separated
from
Vol
Twitter.
Well,
right now, if he's paying attention to Vol Twitter, he's like the second coming of Peyton Manning and Tom Brady.
Right,
so
exactly.
I guess that'd be good for your confidence boost at the moment.
Could be, but yeah, there's bad both ways. There's bad in all ways of paying too much attention to Vol Twitter, unless you're us and just like to be entertained by Vol Twitter.
Well, and by the way, this is nothing new. Like, we talked about this a lot in 2022. Teams trying to prepare for Tennessee's tempo. That's another thing. Again, there are a very, very, very limited amount of takeaways that you can have from a 69-3 win against Chattanooga. One thing I did take away is there were way too many times last year where the offense was slow and it wasn't running to the tempo they wanted to go to. That was not the case on Saturday. They were lined up quick and they were moving, and the tempo looked a lot more like it did in 22 when Hooker was the quarterback. And if that's the case, I think there's enough of a sample size at the moment to know that regardless of how much you practice for it and how much you prepare for it, you're going to get exposed at some point in the game if they're running that tempo.
You've got the tempo absolutely is going to be more like 2022. The middle of the field being utilized by your quarterback will be more like 2022, and your quarterback being able to escape.
Yeah.
Although, you know, Milton had some good running moments, he wasn't an escapability quarterback like Nico and Hendon Hooker are.
Yeah.
So.
All right, real quickly, I do want to get PK's thoughts on this. We went through our season predictions yesterday. I'm down on Buffalo. I got Buffalo missing the playoffs. Am I crazy? Am I crazy for believing Buffalo missing the playoffs?
I considered the same move. There's a lot of change. But I checked in with my main guy in Buffalo, Tim Graham, who is a colleague of Mr. Rex Road.
Love that
here.
Dude.
He's a
friend
terrific,
of the show.
Terrific dude. Friend of the show. Friend of everyone. And he said, back to the pack, but not bad enough. Here's what I did on AFC playoff field. And I did this in both conferences. I'm going to give you more information than you asked for.
That's fine.
I stuck with Buffalo, and I think the AFC East is going to be a monster this year.
Me too.
So I got three playoff teams out of
the East.
You did too.
I did too.
Buffalo, Jets, and Miami. And I did the same thing in the NFC North. And I don't really NFC, again, I have trouble finding playoff teams. I think the AFC is stacked. I think the NFC is thin. Not as thin as I thought it was last year, but still thin. And I'm buying the Chicago hype only because I have trouble finding teams in the NFC. And so I did the same thing in the NFC North. I've got Packers, Bears, and Detroit. I think Detroit's going to fall off with some hangover, but I think they're a playoff team. They're very talented. I just think, you know, a year after you have great success, after not having any success, it's hard.
Their schedule's pretty rough.
And their schedule's rough.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got three teams going from the NFC North as well. But I did this on a football show with Braden Gall yesterday. I like the Titans. I think the Titans are going to be substantially better. But it's conceivable to me they're the 11th best team in the AFC. And I certainly think 1, 2, 3, they're eighth, you know, but I can make the case for three other teams that are outside the playoffs being better than they are.
You two are of similar mind over there, except you're just a hater and had Detroit totally miss the playoffs.
The Lions aren't making the playoffs, but yeah.
Making the playoffs?
I don't.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's conceivable. If there was a better field, I'd go with it all the way. I'm not into the Rams. I think, Robbie, you're into the Rams. I'm not into the Rams. The Rams play the AFC East, where I have three playoff teams coming from, and they play the NFC North. Whether Detroit's a playoff team or not, that's a tough game.
Starting right
away. Chicago's conceivably a tough game. Packers are definitely a tough game. So I think their schedule makes it hard. I think San Francisco will step back record-wise because of that schedule as well. If you're in the NFC and you have a tough schedule, I think things are stacked against.
And at this point in his career, like, is Stafford going to stay healthy for 17
games? Yeah, that's my other thing.
Been a tough problem for him to do that lately.
You know, everybody's glossing over, well, Aaron Donald's gone. Well, they got a lot of people to replace. Well, they got a lot of people to replace him. They've got among those people are unproven people.
Yeah.
Like one guy emerged last year and they drafted some guys.
Right.
I'm not willing to just anoint the draft picks as successful replacements for Aaron Donald.
Yep. I picked the Jets to win the AFC East, and I feel like an absolute moron for doing it because they're the Jets. But until I see Aaron Rodgers stay healthy and not be able to throw the football in a way that's an elite quarterback, like I have to assume health and that he's going to throw the football well. I don't see it with Buffalo. I just don't see it with Buffalo this year.
Buffalo losing the two safeties at the same time is rough. Then their linebacker goes down in Milano.
Yeah.
And then their receiver,
he can't stay healthy.
The receiver situation is tough. They've never run the ball particularly well.
It's a lot on Keon Coleman.
But you know. Then you circle the quarterback.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and the guy's damn good. He came up number one in a player survey of the most overrated quarterback, and I saw some smart people revert and go the other way. He might be the most underrated quarterback too. I mean, he can carry a team. He's damn good. And you know, you go through these things, and then you double check yourself on the quarterback.
Yep.
I think. And I think all three of those teams, if you look at them, Buffalo, we just ran through it. The Jets, you know, we have no idea what Rodgers is going to be, and that coaching staff to me is really an unknown and shaky.
Defense should be damn good.
And Miami is incredibly fast, but all of those guys are injury risks, and that team is a risk of wearing down. It's one of those teams that fell apart at the end. I think Miami and Jacksonville are similar in that they fell apart in the end, and I have faith in both of them. Though I have the Jags just out, that they will grow off of seasons where I think Philadelphia too, where they were good last year, like to 8-3, and then the wheels came off. I don't remember Miami's record exactly, but I think Jacksonville and Philadelphia were both 8-3 and the wheels came off. I think organizationally they're stable enough and they have good enough people who will grow from that. And if they're reasonably healthy, the wheels won't come off a second time, and they'll grow and get better, learn how to win better.
We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. He is ranting again in front of Kuharsky. We'll see how it goes. It'll Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I deserve good things. I am entitled to my share of happiness. I refuse to beat myself up. I am an attractive person. I am fun to be with.
Daily Affirmation with
Rex Road.
A member of several 12-step programs, but not a licensed therapist.
I'm going to do a terrific show today, and I'm going to help people because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. Well, I'm still receiving some negative reaction for my show about Pee-wee Herman entitled There But For the Grace of God Go I. And I have to admit, it was not my best show.
Potentially the longest intro of all time. Welcome back into the Rex Rant.
And now a few words from our sponsors.
I thought we were going to get a whole Stuart Smalley episode. That would have been great.
The face of a child can say it all, especially the mouth part of the face.
Nice.
Joe, with that 3-minute long intro in the background, the floor is now yours.
Yeah, I see. You just never know. Nick will surprise you there.
The Rocks Road was a nice pull there.
That was a very good throw in the Rocks Road. Yeah, I thought I actually just meant like the piano of it, but I like that we got to hear. Stuart. Robbie just spit up his coffee.
He's burnt over here. We need medics.
Yeah. I love it.
Everything's good.
Yeah, everything is good. So that is the reason I wanted that play, because today I hope this can be on the camera, because I want everybody to see that, okay?
Let me see it.
And I want to tell you guys, as you see that
I'm
right there.
I'm going to read it, because most people are listening rather than watching.
Here's the camera.
It's a radio.
I'm going to read it. And it says, sometimes you forget that you're awesome, so this is your reminder.
Oh, good. Oh.
So, Robbie, I want, I've thought about how you constantly trash the Beatles and say like that they're trash and everything.
The Beatles?
While championing bands such as like Creed and Blink-182. And, I'm good with it, man.
Thank you.
I appreciate that we all have different opinions. I'm willing to give those bands another listen.
Are you?
And really try to do so with your unique ear for music. So I want you to know that.
Thank you.
Nick, all those days that I asked you to play music from a certain band and you played way less than you should have, and then also not the songs that I asked for, I need to respect your autonomy as our producer, and I really appreciate the way you take charge of this show. PK, your irascible personality, inflated sense of self-importance, shrill voice, bizarre inability to remember the names of the people you cover. Yes, I'm reading this. And general meanness to many of your colleagues. You know what? It just makes you more lovable in my eyes, buddy. All those things just make you more lovable. I very much appreciate your constructive criticism. Your constructive criticism of my rants is like servant leadership, really. That's really what it is.
Yeah.
And I just want
I
you
do
to
like
know.
To serve.
I just want you to know that I appreciate it. And that's all I have today. Thanks, fellas. Yes.
You say such dumb things.
Very well done.
That was fun.
This was.
You don't have to be scared of me, Joe. I had one be. I mean, once in a while, I'd say something about your rant, but a lot of times it creates good conversation. And you had one really bad one, and I was super critical.
It was a pretty good one.
I'm still upset that I can't find this video. You got it removed from the ether out there.
The guy's
really?
Where your face was apparently as red as the red light out there, and
it's very hard to scrub the internet. This guy got it done.
He did it.
Is it like you've actually looked at it?
I have looked for the YouTube video of this.
Wow.
Approximately 5 times.
Nick, how is this erased?
And it just wasn't on there.
I mean, you were part of this. You reddened him.
What? This sounds like a conspiracy.
That's true. What day was it? I have to go back and try to find it.
It was Friday, 2 weeks ago.
Oh, Friday, 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
When Robbie was off on his baseball adventure, which I joined him on.
Okay.
With a later flight.
I'll go find it. I'll go find it for you.
Yeah, we ended up in the same place. I just didn't work.
I kind of wouldn't mind seeing it too,
Yeah.
And we could
do freeze frames of the redness. Is this sunburn or anger?
I forgive myself for that redness, It's just who I am.
Yeah.
I have a long fuse.
Has everybody seen the runner gout?
Yeah, we talked about that.
Gout.
Gout.
And he's coming back at me with syphilis. There's no such runner, and I had no such disease. So it's not that funny. Gout. That's funny.
It's hilarious.
What country is he from?
Nigeria, did we find out
maybe?
What country? Yeah.
That guy's fast.
He's real fast.
He did. He was pretty impressive.
I mean, if he had gout, he couldn't run like that. That's
no
the
way.
Irony.
I guess. Yeah, that's probably true, unless, like, the pain of the gout forces spurred you to go him. Even yeah. faster. Yeah.
Damn, this hurts. I got to get moving.
DJ Burnside, who, by the way, has the number one pick in our fantasy football draft tonight.
Congrats, says, DJ.
If you have the rant written down, you don't have to read it. Just hold it up to the camera.
That's a good point.
Just hold that sucker I mean, right
we
on
all know
there.
This is a TV show first.
615.
But I do want you to see it, you know, in case.
Yeah.
Because
who
sometimes
gave you
the
that?
YouTube is
did
not.
Your wife give
sometimes
you
the YouTube audio is not working. I have no idea how we got this, but I read it.
Katie,
like,
did
wow.
you give him that?
I have this one, and it's I have the one sweet. That says, shh,
no one cares.
Yeah. That's no beautiful. Idea, man.
It's kind of a rotation. That one, that
great.
One's relatively new. The no one cares makes it a lot. And then there's the Lions muck that we yeah. all love.
And, you know, I have no complaints about home either. Everything's great at home.
It's good. It's good. We'll get into week
so
one.
Today's my wife's birthday. Happy birthday, Teresa, who's yes. not listening. But so Simon had his first workout at Ravenwood today. Weights. He was in the shower super early. The commotion woke me up. I went and told him in the shower it was his mother's birthday. And he didn't say anything. She didn't even remember it was her birthday until friends started texting. She's like, oh, thanks. Simon and I didn't even yeah. remember on his way to his workout.
Big birthday celebrations from you tonight coming
yeah,
up, too.
Oh, yeah. She loves it. She's going to come to the draft. She loves fantasy drafts. And
I mean, a birthday at Twin Peaks?
And Twin Peaks.
It's hard to beat.
Two of her favorite places. Yeah,
I think she'd love that.
I'm going to leave her alone. She probably will like that part.
615-737-1025. We'll get hot and heavy into week one for the Titans. The matchup against the Bears coming up next with PK. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.